Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Word at Noon. I am Louis B., the Apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, for all the saints and faithful in Christ Jesus. We're truly happy to have each and every one of you all. And we are excited about the Word of God because we know there is life in His Word, brothers and sisters. That's the only place I know where life is in His Word. That's how you get life. But we're going to ask Pastor Bill, should be able to start this week with a word of prayer. And, hey, we'll get into it. Pastor Bell from Akron, Ohio.
Good afternoon, everyone. Amen. And we thank God for the song. It was going in and out, Pastor. I wasn't sure what the title was, but we were trying to listen to it there.
Hallelujah.
There we go. You sound, I hear you now, loud and clear, Pastor.
Can you hear me now, Pastor?
I can hear you now.
Great.
Thank God. Amen. The scripture I'd like to open up with is coming from
give us a word of prayer. I don't know if I came too clear, but give us a word of prayer. Thank you.
Okay. You're welcome, Pastor. Okay. This I'd like to open up with is coming from 1 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, and the 10th verse says, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. Amen. Heavenly Father, as we come before you in the name of Jesus, we're thanking you, Father God, for another time we can come together and be in your word. Thanking you for the listeners and those that are listening by internet and those who participate, Father God. We bind up anything and everything that is not like you right now in the name of Jesus. We ask that you will bless our pastor continually, Lord, as he continues to teach this word, Father God. And help us to receive it, Lord. Bless all those who ask us to keep them in prayer. Be with all the sick and the shut in, Father God. You said in your word, by your stripes we're healed. Father God, and be with those who are bereaved and those who are going through. You said you will keep thee in perfect peace, whose mind has stayed on thee. So, Lord, we open up our hearts to you. We allow the Holy Spirit to come in. and minister to us through our pastor, and continue to have your way in our lives, Father God. And this we ask in Christ Jesus' name, we do pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Pastor. Now, I'm so excited about this word. I got to calm down here, brothers and sisters. We're going to talk about repositioning ourselves in Christ. And the Lord told me to get back on that and tell the people where they need to be when you reposition. Because repositioning, actually, it requires you to make a move. Repositioning requires you, there has to be a change.
Yes. Amen.
Yeah. When you say he repositioned the boy, that was a change that took place.
Mm-hmm.
See, there was a change that took place. That was a relocation to remove, to shift, to transfer. I see a shift being made into this heavenly sanctuary. Now, this is for believers and for everybody. It's for believers. There's a shift going on. There's a shift being made for true believers. And I have to say that again like that, Pastor, for true believers. Well, why do you want to reposition so you can be fixed now, so you can be anchored, if you would? So you can be secure, if you will. So we can be know that you're stable in Christ.
Yeah.
You're just repositioning yourself. I know that, you know, there's a lot of people, well, you know, I Christ. You can say all that if you want to. But brother and sister, when you know that you know that you know, and you got the word of God to stand on.
Yes.
You had a word to God right there before your face.
Mm-hmm.
So we're repositioning and we're getting in a different place in Christ.
All right.
And
Amen.
That's truly at the right hand side of the majesty on high. So hey, let's start with Ephesians 2. This would be one of our foundational scriptures. We got a lot of stuff to cover, but I like to go ahead and give us a foundational scripture so we can be about the Father's business. Because I want to talk about a lot of things this week. One of the main things I'm going to talk about is in abolishing. See, you got to know old self has been abolished,
mm-hmm.
made none and void. So the earthly churches, y'all see, is none and void. And I'm going to show you that this week. And I don't care about you going to them. I'm just telling you, as far as God is concerned, they're null and void. It's pointless. It's in vain. And that's probably going to be part of the message this week. The other part is going to be to show that we have to be a part of a living body. And we need to be away from dead works.
All right.
We need to enjoy the riches that is in his grace.
Mm-hmm.
When I tell you the surface to where we're supposed to be, eyes haven't seen, ears haven't heard, man. I'm telling you. It's awesome. I mean, when I think about what God has did for us, people say, well, I'm praying. No, God has already blessed me. Already blessed. And we may hit on that a little bit. Because you've been chosen. It's been predestined that we operate in Christ, brothers and sisters. But by the same token, there come a time that we got to move away from what's the best way to say this? Because I don't want nobody to be misled. You got to move away from playing church
and be in the church. And the only way you can do that is take your place in Christ, repositioning, taking your part in Christ. You have to reposition. So we're going to start with Ephesians 2. And matter of fact, I'm going to, you know what, we're going to probably do this whole second chapter, and you're going to see some things this week, and I pray to God they bless you. Man, I can't wait to get on the part about abolish. I know God deal with all that stuff, all every bit of it. And I know people still practicing it, but don't have nothing to do with God. That's what they're doing. God said, that's not what I'm doing. That's what they're doing. You, and it's okay to practice circumcision, but don't say you're doing it to get cleansed, because that's not what God's doing. That's not what he's doing. Not in the flesh, anyway. He's doing it in the spirit. But we're going to read the first, I really want to read verse 6, because that's where it's at. But let's read the first 6 verses. Ephesians 2:1 reads like this. And you have he quickened them, who were dead in trespass and in sin, wherein in time past ye walked. I want y'all to hear this now. And if you don't know what that means, then you ought to look it up and see. And that's any of this. He says, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we had our conversation in time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in the sin, have quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved, and have raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah.
Amen, amen. Praise God. From the Message Bible, it wasn't so long ago that you were marred in that old stagnant life of sin. You let the world, which doesn't know the first thing about living, tell you how to live. You filled your lungs with polluted unbelief and then exhaled disobedience. We all did it. All of us doing what we felt like doing when we felt like it, all of us in the same boat. It's no wonder God didn't lose his temper and do away with the whole lot of us. Instead, immense in mercy and with incredible love, he embraced us. He took our sin-dead lives and made us alive in Christ. He did all this on his own with no help from us. Then he picked us up and set us down in highest heaven in company with Jesus, our Messiah. Amen, amen.
Amen, amen. So when we read this, brothers and sisters, the Bible says, and have raised us up together.
Yeah.
Now, he didn't do that once and drop you back down. He didn't do that.
Yeah.
We were dead in our trespasses. Now, what he's talking about is worldly stuff. I know how churches teach this. Now, you go and listen to somebody in a church building, an organized church, they're going to teach this as people outside their congregation, or people they call, quote, worldly people, people that don't belong to a church or not professing their faith. See, that's what they call worldly, but that's not true. If you want to see
right.
what worldly is, you go over there. And then furthermore, I got to tell you this too. The worldly churches is what the Bible calls in Hebrews 9, okay? So he's not talking to the heathens. Heathens ain't even included in most of this teaching. Most of this teaching is for people who claim to be God, claim to know God, religious people, whether it be Pharisees, Sadducees, whatever. But these are supposed to be God-minded people. People that are heathens, now you ain't thinking about God. They're over here trying to get their bar straight. They're trying to get this straight, get that straight. See, those are a whole different kind of people. He's not talking about those people. He's talking about these people who waving the flag, talking about, Lord, Lord, we love you and blah, blah, blah. God talking to these people, church-going people, organized church-going people. That's who he's talking to, people. So when you read this, and matter of fact, anytime you read the New Testament, period, remember God talking to people who were living by the law. They didn't. The heathens didn't have no law to live by.
Okay.
What they wanted to do. Yeah, think about it. So he wasn't talking to no, he wasn't talking about no heathens. He's talking about law-keeping folks, people who live by the law. So he don't address the heathens. He addressed those that are living by the law. So when you're reading the New Testament, remember that it was the law-abiding people, people who can. A lot of times people want to make people in the world have the same standard as they have in their church. And it's not true, brothers and sisters.
All right.
People that was outside of the law keep was called Gentiles. And the other people was called heathen. Gentiles was people who actually, they was, I don't want to say they was neutral. The best place to put them is they listened to both sides. But they wasn't practicing anything, if you really want to know how this was really did, because the Jews, they was Jews, and anybody that was not Jews was considered a Gentile. And if they wasn't a Gentile, they were considered a heathen. But I'm not going to get into that today. I'll get into that sometime this week when I talk about abolishing in the flesh. Because if you will, you'll see that the promise was made to the covenant keepers, the Commonwealth of Israel. That was the circumcision and the uncircumcision, and that's how they knew it. And if you was uncircumcised, you were considered a Gentile or a heathen. The circumcision was for the house of Israel or the Commonwealth of Israel. And they had the promise in their view. But to make a long story short, there was a lot of that was holding them up. So the Bible says that having abolished in his flesh the enemy, even the law of commandments contained in the ordinance for to make in himself twine of one man, so making peace. He abolished it all. And we're going to get into that this week. It's just so much of this we're going to get into. But here it is, brothers and sisters. The part that really just stand on my heart is that 13th verse. He said, but now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometime were far off are made nigh by his blood, not by our church now, but by his own blood. But where's his blood at? It's at in the sanctuary.
Right now.
Yeah, his blood is in the sanctuary. He took it and God examined it. Well, in order, and see, people who understood this, just like Israel, they understood you had to take a blood offering to the sanctuary. That's what you did. And that's what you was forgiven for a whole year, or better yet, your sins was covered for a year. Sin really wasn't forgiven until Christ died, brothers and sisters. Only thing could happen to sin was to be covered. And just like when the Bible talking about the sin, he's not talking about what we think sin is. Because see, what we think, what we've been taught sin is, you know, going using drugs, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. All that stuff. No, man. You know what? Sin is anything that disobey God.
All right.
I'll be in a better text this week. But that's what sin is. So these people, they became sinful because they was disobedient to God. Yeah. They had the word. You got people right now, they got the word of God. But guess what? They won't obey. They're disobedient. That's right. So you remember time passed, you was in the flesh. So he's talking a spiritual thing here, who are called the uncircumcision, but that which is called the circumcision is flesh made by hand. See, so he's trying to spell this stuff out, or he is spelling it out, to get us to understand that he's talking spiritual stuff here. Grace is spiritual. Being saved is spiritual, having nothing to do with the flesh. Even though people will have you to think if you join their organization or their church or you get your name on their roll, then you are saved. So that's how they kind of do that. So we're going to dig in that to a little bit. God want to show us his kindness, his love. That goes on what anybody can even comprehend. Man, God took care of the sin problem. Okay, it's been abolished. It's gone. It went bye-bye.
Yeah.
So you want to still, every time you look around, bring up sin. See, if you become righteous conscience, then sin has no place around you because you're righteous conscience. Remember, there was a time in our conversation in the time past was the lust of the flesh, and we fulfilled the desires of that. Now, when you think about that, you're thinking about, oh, you know, when I was out there and I was whoremongering and I was out. No, that's not what he's talking about, man. You gotta do your research.
Amen.
God had mercy on these children that were disobedient. So we're going to take it from the top this week, and we're going to deal with, and you have he quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sin. So you got to accept the fact that one time you lived the life, and the life you lived was about practicing religion. That was sin was. That's really what sin. You had God's name, or you was bearing his name, but you really wasn't going to Christ for direction.
Have mercy.
And I know every mama said, oh, the Holy Ghost teaches me. That's why a lot of people right now better start repenting, because it really wasn't the Holy Ghost. It was a spirit. But did you try the spirit by the spirit? See, a lot of people had me taught how to try the spirit. I had a guy telling me about, he was telling me about some, I guess he was trying to convince me that he was saved by telling me these different dreams he had, and he believed in reincarnation. So I asked him, I said, Doc, I said, why do you want to be reincarnate? Why you want to come back here? That's what I was trying to get to understand. Why you want to come back here? Ain't nothing here. I won't. Nothing.
All right.
He said, for the energy. He said, to give the energy. I said, you ain't giving out none now. Why you want to come back? Yeah, listen, brothers and sisters. Once there's two places. There's either hell or heaven. There's a fire with brimstone. I know preachers don't want to talk about it, but it's real. There is a hell just like there's a heaven. Now, you've only got two choices there. You can start operating with Christ, or you can operate, because some people said this is hell. When I think about the shooting and the killing and the dodging and the drugs, I mean, this could be a hell, but it's not the final hell. Because, see, the Bible says that it has been appointed unto men to die once after this, the judgment. So my thing is, what I believe is what the Word of God says. We are to be in Christ, man. And that's what we're going to talk about this week, what it means to really be in Christ. Not to say it, but to really know that you were dead in sin when you was practicing religious stuff, that he quickened us together with Christ. So if we're together with Christ, our spirit should be where he's at. Well, that brings us to the other part of this message. Wherever Christ is at, it's where your spirit is to be at. Wherever sanctuary he in, is where you need to be. See, a lot of people haven't been taught. They haven't really been taught by Christ. Christ wants to teach each and every one of us individual. And the Holy Ghost is going to do that. He's going to guide you to that place where Christ wants to teach you. It's some good stuff in here, trust me. And in Ephesians 4, we're going to go there right quick. I might as well go there. Ephesians 4 and 20, because let me tell you what. The church has to become mature. They have to come to a place that they're at the same level of Christ is. The same level. I know folks don't want to hear that, but God is not accepting anything less than us being with Christ. The Bible says, but ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness.
Amen, amen. From the Message Bible. But that's no life for you. You learn Christ. My assumption is that you have paid careful attention to him, been well instructed in the truth precisely as we have it in Jesus. Since then, we do not have the excuse of ignorance. Everything, and I do mean everything, connected with that old way of life has to go. It's rotten through and through. Get rid of it and then take on an entirely new way of life. A God-fashioned life, a life renewed from inside and working itself into your conduct as you accurately reproduces his character in you. Amen, amen.
Amen. Yeah. See, it has to be new. It can't be part of the old. If you still want to do part of the old and part of the new, you ain't got it yet. You still playing with it. You ain't learned Christ. How about that one? You haven't learned him. Because all this, everything become new. Becoming a new creature, a new creation, you don't have no past. You knew. It was abolished. It's gone. It went bye-bye. We are new creatures. And behold, all things have become new. New worship, new way of talking, new way of understanding. Everything is going to become new. And it can't be like the world. See, you got people who don't even belong to Christ. They practice church folk stuff, everything from acting to you name it, they practicing it. They can get up there and imitate. I've seen it on Tyler Perry shows. Man, and people think, oh yeah, that guy got the Holy Ghost. And the world and the people in the world and even they imitate that. You can't imitate the Holy Ghost because it's new.
All right.
It's an inside thing. Your life is fashioned because you have renewed the inside. You know why? Because of Ephesians 2. Man, if you could see it through the optical nerve, then everybody would see it. But see, if you haven't experienced Ephesians 2:10 that says, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus. See, that's the spirit. Unto good works, which God had before ordained that we should walk in them. This is stuff I'm talking about. God's stuff. Okay, anybody have any questions or anything they want to share, press 1. But we're going to have a great time this week. I'm spending it down in my shiny nana. It's going to be awesome.
All right, amen. Praise God.
Anybody, press 1. Hallelujah. If not... we'll get into it tomorrow, but we're going to be talking about repositioning ourselves into the image of God, into the image of Christ. I'm going to show you how to do it, and it's going to work. It got to work. God's word can't lie. You talking about you want to be like him? Hey, it's going to start in the sanctuary, the true sanctuary, the true tabernacle. The one God built and not man. I see.